want to preach a message tonight. Really, it is a large compilation of verses dealing with hope. And I am not going to try to give you a pump-up motivational speech tonight just to make you feel good about things that are coming up. What I am trying to do is take and help us to bring our focus in and put our hope where it ought to be and where it needs to be. Our world is messed up. We literally, if things don't turn around, we could very easily be looking at a World War III. We understand that. We look at our own society and the depravity that is throughout our society and the fact that that depravity is celebrated. And I'm glad that there is some pushback to that. But even the pushback that is to some of that is done by corrupt individuals. And we really need to get our people just need to get back to the Word of God and back to knowing God and walking with God and living for God. And we need to be active in our society to work to bring that to pass. But ultimately, our hope for the new year comes from God and the Word of God. And I want to just take tonight and take verses of Scripture and put them categorically under some points dealing with hope. And I hope that it will be a blessing and a help. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." The idea is that Christian people ought to be living in such a way that people recognize, why are you not down? Why are you not hopeless? Why are you not full of anxiety and worry and fear? And sometimes, unfortunately, we are. Sometimes we get down on the same level as lost people. Sometimes we do not reflect this hope, but the Apostle Peter, as he writes, he says, look, you need to be living in hope, and that hope being such a reflection that people look and they say, how is it that in the midst of all of this, you can still have hope? And of course, the answer there, we can direct them toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, we ought to have that hope, and it ought to be a part of our lives. So we're going to take and put this together tonight and trust it'll be a blessing. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would encourage us tonight. And God, just as we look at Scripture, and that's just simply our desire tonight, is to take the Word of God and categorize this word hope, that it might strengthen us, and Lord, that it would give us purpose and focus for the upcoming year. God, I pray that it'll be a help. God, I pray that as maybe we've got discouraged people, and Lord, people are looking at financial difficulties, sicknesses, struggles in family relations, all kinds of situations that are going on. Father, I pray that we'd be focused on you and your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hope, let's go to Job, and some of these. Go to Job 31, Job chapter 31, and I'm going to read a lot of verses tonight. I have some of them printed out just so as not to take excess time turning to the many different places. But Job 31 is where you'll go. I want to read Job 6:11. It says, "What is my strength that I should hope? And what is mine end that I should prolong my life?" Job is realizing it's not in me. I don't have the strength. Remember, Job had been broken down. He had lost pretty much everything. His own health had been lost. And he just simply says, what is my strength that I should hope? He's looking at, I don't have anything. I don't have any strength anymore to be able to hope and get up and say, man, I can make all of this over again. I can make, I can redo this. Job had come to the very end of himself. And he says, what is mine end that I should prolong my life? He realized, I can't even add a day to my life. In fact, he didn't know if he was going to make it through this sickness. But Job 31, I want you to notice verse 24 through 28. And Job makes this statement, if I have made gold my hope. I may have heard an advertisement sometime this year saying, buy gold. That's just about everybody, isn't it? Inflation, buy gold. We don't know what the market's going to do. Buy gold. I've heard it. I've heard it from relatives. I've heard it from the radio. I've heard it on the internet. I've heard it everywhere around. Buy gold, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold. Job says, if I have made gold my hope or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. If I rejoice because my wealth was great and mine hand had gotten much. If I beheld the sun when it shined or the moon walking in brightness and my heart hath been secretly enticed or my mouth has kissed my hand. Saying, I did this. My hand provided for me. He says, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. I don't know about you, but that is a powerful, powerful statement. And God teaches us to plan ahead for retirement. I believe the Bible teaches us to invest out ahead and all of that, but the Bible never tells us that that's where our confidence should land. And the Bible never tells us to place our confidence in finances and the ability that finances give and wealth that's there and the power of our own hand to provide. Because as Job was facing and realizing, that can all disappear just like that. And so first off tonight, first point, our hope cannot be in ourselves. And we need to get over that. And that goes along with the message on pride this morning. Our hope is not in ourselves. Ezekiel 13:6 makes this statement. You don't have to turn to all of these because I'm going to read a lot of them. And the point I want to make here is we cannot ignore reality and trust in false hope. Ezekiel 13:6, they have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. There was a problem throughout the nation of Israel, and we saw this through several of the different kings of Judah. There were false prophets going around saying, everything's going to get better, when in reality, people were looking and facing at the judgment of God. And there are, look, in our world, we've got the naysayers, the climate change activists, these people that, oh, it's a catastrophe. The sky is falling, the Chicken Little type. And then you've got the other type that, boy, everything's going to turn around and everything's going to be great. And the truth is, we don't know which direction it's going to go. And we can't look at people just trying to motivate and pump us up and say, oh, it's all going to be good. It's all going to be good. It's all good. Oh, isn't it all great? And Ezekiel warns and says, there's false prophets out here saying, God's not going to judge. Look, God's going to judge this world. The tribulation is coming. Praise the Lord, we're going to be out of here for that. And I feel like we need to look at that again sometime maybe this year and just refresh that, because we're in a society, and I don't know what's going on, but there's a lot of people, oh, mid-trib, post-trib stuff. Jesus is coming before the tribulation. The tribulation's for the nation of Israel. It's not for us. And by the way, the church is not Israel, and the church didn't replace Israel. But we look at these people that were coming promising that everything was going to be good. That's not necessarily the case. Does our nation deserve to be blessed? It really doesn't. But that does not change the fact that our hope is in God. Okay, so we can't ignore reality and trust in false hope. Our hope should be in the Lord. It's not in, we're coming into political season, okay? We are going to, it's going to be really hot and heavy from now until January 15th here in Iowa. Then we get a little bit of a reprieve as we just watch the rest of the nation. I'll be glad when that happens. I'm trying to be actively involved up till January 15th and on January 15th. Then we'll sit back and relax a little bit until we get closer to the national election. But you know what? Our hope is not in the next candidate. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. And so, ultimately, what we want is to get somebody that would hopefully at least turn our nation toward righteous things. And you're not going to get a righteous person in the White House. Hopefully, maybe we can get somebody that believes some biblical principles in the White House. I'll take that, okay? For sure better than what we have right now. But our hope is ultimately, it's not in any of that. We have an individual hope, and our hope is to be in the Lord. Psalm 31:24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now, you notice where the strength is. He's strengthening the heart. This is not a matter of everything's going great around me. You can have a strong heart in the midst of catastrophe. Psalm 33:22 says, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. See, our hope has to be in the right place. If our hope's in the right place, then we can ask God for help. Go ahead, if you'll turn with me to Psalm 42, I want you to notice three verses that are practically identical. But Psalm 42 and verse 5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Verse 5 of the next chapter, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. See, the idea of when things are going bad, we can still hope in God. God is still the one that puts a healthy countenance on our face, right? As Christian people, even when disaster strikes, we can still have a joy of knowing God is in charge written on our face. I'm not saying that we have to walk around with a Joel Osteen-style smile. But I am saying that we ought to be able to walk around with a countenance that is reflective of the fact that we are not distraught, we are not downtrodden. Look, I know sometimes we get tired, sometimes we get worn out, sometimes we come in and we've labored all week long and maybe we're a little tired. And one young lady came in tonight, boy, this morning, her eyes were, man, it looked like she had no sleep last night. Maybe she didn't, I don't know. But, you know, you can be tired, but you can still have God in your countenance and just have that trust in God. Our hope's in the Lord. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Jeremiah 17:17, be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Can we have hope in the day of evil if our hope's in God? See, God's not evil. There's no evil in God. But here's our society a little bit right now. Here's a verse about Herod. When Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him. And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. You ever run into people that they don't live for God, but then all of a sudden catastrophe strikes? Boy, I hope God will get me out of this. That's Herod. Herod, it says, you know, you read the first part of that verse And you say, oh, Herod wants to see Jesus. He's been wanting to see Jesus for a long time. Boy, Herod's interested in the Lord. And then all he wanted to see was some miracle. And isn't that reflective of the society that we live in? No, nothing to do with God, but when you're in trouble, boy, now I want God to step in for me. Don't we so often treat God like a spare tire? When the tire goes flat, you hope that the spare actually has air in it. Anybody check their spare tire in the last 2 weeks? He used it. That's why he checked it. You know, you think about it. We just went on this trip and everything, and I assume the spare's there. I assume it's good. I assume there's a jack in the car. But, you know, God is not to be like that for us. Our hope is in God. And beyond our hope being in the Lord, our hope should be in God's Word. Because it's the Word of God that directs us toward God and directs our lives in God. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, the substance of things hoped for, but where does faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So faith is built on the Word of God. And David, he often points his directive toward faith in God's Word. If you'll turn to Psalm 119, and Psalm 119 is the what chapter in the Bible? It is the Word of God chapter. It is every verse in Psalm 119, all 176 verses, reference the Word of God. Now notice David's mentality here as he goes through this. Psalm 119, verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Now, you know what? Are Christian people glad when you show up? Because you bring with them a hope in God's word. You know, I am glad the Bible doesn't change. I gave this morning a young man a King James Bible. You know, we get new people come to church, and they don't have any clue that there's one Bible that's right and all of the rest of them are twisted and the result of Satan literally trying to attack so many different things. There's one Bible preserved by God, accurately preserved, and there is an all-out assault on that Bible in our society today. And some people they don't know anything about it. Verse 81 says, my soul faineth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Boy, you can be tired, you can be struggling, you can have troubles, but you can always trust in the word of God. Verse 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word. Verse 147 says, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. See, is the life of a Christian all rosy? It's not. But even when we cry all night long, this book doesn't fail. It's still true, every word of it. We can still have confidence in the God of the book and the book of God. We can know that this word will be there for us today and tomorrow and at the end of 2024 and at the end of 2035. And if the Lord, well, it'll be up in heaven with us. It's preserved in heaven. Psalm 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. See, our confidence in this book, and that is why it bothers me so badly when people take and try to change the Word of God. And you've got verses, that you have worked to memorize, and they're in your heart, they're in your soul. You know those verses, and you go to some place, or you're at a funeral, or some place you're out and about, and they're always misquoting the Bible. Who is it that misquoted the Bible in the Bible? Satan did that. Now, I'm not talking about attempting to quote a verse and making a mistake on it. Okay, that happens. But I'm talking about, you've got it right in front of you. Satan purposely twisted the scriptures when he talked to Eve, and he purposely took the scriptures out of context when he tried to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a devilish thing to try to change the scriptures. Our hope is in the Word of God. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, there have been times where you go to hospice. You talk a little bit. You pray with somebody. But sometimes just give them a little bit of Scripture. It's the Word of God is our hope. You can have confidence in the book. And I hope that you do. When hoping in the Lord, don't forget to live by His commandments. Notice these verses. Psalm 78:7 says, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. There are so many people that ignore Christian living in our society, but when they're in trouble, well, I sure hope God comes through for me. When the Bible takes hope and it puts it as you depending on and hoping in God, it puts some qualifiers on that. And those qualifiers are, as this is written there, I hope in God, but I hope in God because I've tried to live for God. Can God come through no matter what? He sure can. But what is God, as we look at Scripture, what does God want us? He wants us living and keeping His commandments. Psalm 119, 166. Lord, I have hoped for Thy salvation and done Thy commandments. Now, we're not doing commandments to get saved. But we're hoping, we have assurance of salvation, and we keep God's commandments. 1 John 3:3, every man that hath this hope in him, what is it? Hope of salvation. What does that man do? Purifieth himself even as he is pure. So when you know that you're saved and you're hoping toward that everlasting life, and we're not talking about hope as in I hope I've got it. No, it's an assurance, a confidence of everlasting life. That person purifies himself. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, without remembering, without ceasing, your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. In looking at this model church of Thessalonica, and it would be described as a model church, the Apostle Paul says, I look back on you and I see you living for God, working for God, loving God, and just hoping in God. You know, if you're alive today, you've got hope. Ecclesiastes 9:4 says, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. A living dog is better than a dead lion. Now, a lion's a powerful creature. But a living dog is better than a dead lion. And if you're alive, you can have hope. Job 14 says, there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and the tender branch thereof will not cease. You know, you can get cut all the way down. If you've still got life, you've still got hope. It can still come about. And Job knew that. Job basically, the oak tree that got cut down that grew back. Sometimes it's an irritation. You cut down a tree and here comes another sprout coming off of it. And here comes another. You take it down again. This oak tree out here cut some branches off that kept coming down over the parking lot. And so we trimmed it up higher. And guess what's growing back? these little branches and give it a few years, they're going to be big branches. So we got to get up there and nip them off again. Because where you cut it off, they want to grow back. But, you know, as long as there's life, there's hope. And even when we're on the verge of death, there's still hope in God. Consider the resurrection and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Now, the unjust, there's not a lot of hope in that resurrection. Their end is the lake of fire, but boy, for a saved person, there's a resurrection coming. 1 Corinthians 15, 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That idea of miserable there is we're looked on with pity. You ever see a person that was just, they were miserable and you could tell that they were miserable? And I mean, you just, your heart goes out to them because of the struggle that they're going through. He says, look, if we're living for Christ and there's no hereafter, he says, we are to be pitied. But he's like, that entire chapter is just a chapter. Look, there's a resurrection. And we're grateful for that. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Aren't you glad for a resurrection? Aren't you glad you can see your loved ones again if they're saved? 1 Thessalonians 5:8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Now, in Ephesians, it's called the helmet of salvation. It's called the helmet of the hope of salvation. And again, remember, this word hope is not this, it's not this new modern word of, I hope it snows tomorrow, with no confidence in it at all. It is a word of assurance. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth in into that within the veil. I'm looking for Jesus, aren't you? Could 2024 be the year that Jesus comes? Could be. Could still be 2023. We got a little bit of time left. He's coming. And it's called a blessed hope. And we're to be looking for it. I'm not looking for the Antichrist, folks. You hear all these people, oh, I think this person is the Antichrist. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm looking for the blessed hope. And actually, at the glorious appearing, we're coming with him. Okay, so the blessed hope is what we're looking for first. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But Christian people, we're to be lively people, hopeful people. Now, hopelessness is a sin. And I think so often we live in a society where depression, worry, anxiety, fear, hopelessness have been normalized. In fact, there's a pill for that. And it's just like, it's expected. It is not expected for a Christian person to live in any one of those words. Hopelessness often is, it is actually a sin. And it leads to some different things. It leads to a negative life. Job describes this in Job 7:6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. You know, a hopeless person, the day goes by and the day goes by and the day goes by and there's nothing that happens. It's just like the days go by so fast. There's no goal. There's no desire out there ahead. Job 8:13 says, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. That goes back to, look, if we're going to if we're going to hope in God, we need to keep His commandments. See, there's so often, why won't God fix my household? Why won't God fix my marriage? Look, you do your part. You do right. And then you can hope in God. But if you're going off living in sin, I hope God gets me out of this. I hope God pays my debts as you head to the gambling house. No, we keep God's commandments and hope in God. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when desire cometh, it is a tree of life. You ever said, you just really thought something was going to take place and it fell completely through and it was just like, oh. Hope deferred does make the heart sick. But so what do? Do we live in hopelessness because we don't want to have hope in something? No, we still have hope. Jeremiah 18:12 says, and they said, there is no hope. Now listen to this. But we will walk after our own devices, and we will do the imagination of his evil heart. When a person is in a state of hopelessness, there is no limit to the wickedness that they may participate in. It is not a place for Christian people to dwell in a state of hopelessness that's there. Ephesians 2:12 describes the lost people. It says, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, what is the idea behind that? Ye were. What is were? Past tense. They're not that anymore. Are you saved? Then have hope in God. Colossians 1:23, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. He's saying, if we lose hope, we become under the possibility that we lose our grounding and we become unsettled. What happens when a person gets their eyes off the Lord and off the Word of God? They get ungrounded and unsettled. They get moved. So when hopelessness comes in, you got to get that out of there. But it's not just you getting it out of there. It's looking to God, who's our hope, and looking to the Word of God and remembering God's still good. God's still at work in our society. And I want you just to think this year, let's make it a year of hope. Isaiah 57:10 says, thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way. Yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. Anybody have some struggles in 2023? Yeah. Some people lost loved ones. Some people had health struggles. Some people, probably a lot of people had some financial struggles. And God says, thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way. You're going through life, and life can get tired, can it? But you notice what he says. Yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. You want to think about hope. We're reading, we were over in Indiana, and literally on Christmas Day, I was 1 mile from this man, and on the day after Christmas, I drove right over the bridge that he was under. There was a man that had a car wreck on the 20th of December. He rolled his truck, and his truck went down the hill and went underneath a bridge and landed under a bridge. He was trapped in there. The airbag had come off. he was crushed in and he could not get to his phone to call anybody. On the 27th of December, a couple of guys were looking for a place to go fishing and they saw this shiny thing over here, went over to see it, and it was this guy in his car. Literally 7 days that man was in there. There was a little bit, it had been rain, there was a little bit of rainwater that had was coming in, so he's getting a little something to drink just by catching water that was coming in off of his car that was broken there. You want to talk about a hopeless situation? And you should see the picture of the guy smiling in the hospital bed. I mean, he is beaming. I don't know about you, but after day one, I mean, you can't call. You can scream and holler. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's in between towns, in between Portage and Chesterton, underneath a bridge there. They said that actually standing on the bridge and looking over, there was no way to see the vehicle. Hopeless! And yet, he's alive in the hospital, broken bones, but he's alive. You know, your way can be hard, your way can be great, but don't give up hope. Lamentations 3:26 says, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." That's about all that guy could do. I don't know how he didn't freeze to death. He got 29 degrees one of those nights. I'll give you four more verses. Romans 15:13. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." See, this is not this world's idea of motivational speaking, of pump you up. This is a matter of, this is a Holy Spirit, God-given attribute that ought to be part of our lives. It comes from knowing God. 1 Corinthians 9:10, "Or saith he it altogether for our sakes no doubt this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope. And he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope." Would you plant a garden if there was no hope of a harvest? You'd be hard-pressed to get out there and plant a garden if there was no hope of a harvest. You plant a garden with a hope of a harvest. How many, and I'll honestly say I've been guilty of this, how many go out witnessing and you're thinking nobody wants this? Anybody else? But here's the thing, what is it? There's somebody out there. Or you're planting and sowing a seed that someday is going to bring forth fruit. We don't know when that fruit's going to come. We don't know when that next person's going to get saved and get baptized and become part of the church. We don't know when God's going to greatly use somebody to get saved as a result of the ministries that we participate in. It's real easy, looking at statistics, to give up hope on a bus route. But what do? We plant and sow in hope. We cannot live defeated and just like, "I don't know why we do this." That's not who we are. We plant with a hope of a harvest. And that's how we're living our life. And sometimes we don't feel like it. Anybody ever been there? Yeah. Sometimes we don't feel like it. Sometimes you don't feel like giving that person a gospel tract. Sometimes you're just plain not in the mood. And yet if we don't sow, then we have no hope of reaping. And we dare not turn our hope to, well, let's get people in the church by this worldly means or this worldly. No, look, the hope's still in the Word of God. That's where we're still at. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. You struggle with sin. Hope of righteousness is still there. And lastly, Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you have Jesus? Is Jesus in you? Then you've got hope for 2024. You know, no matter how bad it gets, there's a home in heaven still waiting. No matter how bad this world gets, the worst that can happen to us is we die and go to heaven. I mean, that's not so bad. Okay? It's not so bad. I guess you could be kept in torture on the verge of death. That'd be worse than dying and go to heaven by far. But, you know, Jesus Christ is in you and He is the hope of glory. And so you look at this upcoming year and there's no reason for losing hope. There's no reason to lose hope in God. He's still God. There's no reason to hope in God's Word. It's still God's Word. God's Word is still quick. It's still powerful. It's still sharper than a two-edged sword. Boy, and we need to live in hope. Don't be discouraged. Don't be depressed. Don't allow Satan to get in under your skin. Just realize, and I'm not talking about, well, I've got to pump myself up. No, just walk in the Spirit and you will walk in hope. Because God will give that hope to you. When you pray in what? Hope. That God will answer that prayer. So I hope that these verses are a help to you. It's not a fancy message, but it's just the Word of God is there. And the Word of God has a message of hope. And that there's a little bit connected to that. But I trust that we can look forward to this year with just this idea of hope, of hope. I'm going to have an invitation. And I want to ask, just come down and respond to the invitation as God would have you to. Maybe you just want to pray for your upcoming year. But I want to take just a couple minutes and pray for the year upcoming. Okay? So let's have the invitation. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Father, I pray, Lord, I know that we've got some people right now that are struggling in different areas in different ways. God, help us to be thrilled to be able to live for you. And God, help us to trust in your word and hope in you and do what's right. And God, may we not lose hope. Father, I pray that you would just deal with our hearts right now. And God, if we've got a sense of hopelessness, God, I pray that you'd help us to be able to just respond now and talk to you. And talk to the Holy Spirit about refreshing and renewing our hope for the upcoming year. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, I'm going to ask Brother Reed, would you come and lead us in prayer just for our new year, and ask the Lord to help us as a church. And you come and pray, and then Brother Blue, would you come and pray after him? And let's just all pray together with them for this coming year, okay? And just ask God for his help. Brother Blue, would you come up this way so you can step up right after Brother Reed finishes praying there.
Father, we need your help, Lord, and we look to you. We know that you are the great God and that could do all things. And Lord, we pray you'd be with our church. Help us as a church family to be what we ought to be in this new year of 2024. Help us, Lord, to love you. Help us, Father, to not do things in our own strength and our own abilities, but, Lord, to walk in the Spirit and to be the people we ought to be. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen Pastor. I pray that you'd strengthen Brother Schrock. I pray that you would help all of our class teachers, our Sunday school class teachers and junior church folks, Lord, to be Spirit-led as they teach their classes and take care of their responsibilities. Father, in this year, we need your help, Lord. We know that the world would encroach, but, Lord, we know that you are the great God, the Almighty God. There is nothing too hard for you. And, Lord, we pray that you would, as Pastor preached tonight, that you would help us to be confident in you, Lord, and having faith to follow you. Father, we just pray that you would have your hand upon this new year, and that, Lord, you would be lifted up in this place. Father, we do pray for our country as well. We pray, Lord, that you would help us there. Father, we don't deserve your mercies. We don't deserve your help. But, Father, you are a gracious God, and I pray that you would help us to be, as a country, help us, Lord, to turn to righteousness, to be the people we ought to be in that regard. But Father, it starts in our homes. It starts, Lord, here at the church house. And Father, help us as your people to be what we ought to be. And Father, we pray that you would help us in spiritual ways, Lord, and help us, Lord, to trust in you as we should. We pray it in Jesus' name.
Father, we do say amen to everything that Brother Dan has prayed about tonight, Lord. We thank you that we have a great hope in you. Help us to live in a way that others would be drawn to you. We need you. And each and every day remind us, Lord, that we need to call upon you for help and that you have sent a comforter to us that we can rely on. That if we just simply walk in the Spirit, that those around us will see that hope that we have in you. Lord, we just pray that you would bless this church. Above all, bless your word. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, you can be seated.